our next speaker to touch on some of the plight that's happening to the Palestinians is a Palestinian-Australian general surgeon from Melbourne. She travelled to Gaza in June on a three-week volunteer medical mission with PANSMA, the Palestinian-Australian-New Zealand Medical Association. She was based in Al Shuhada Al-Aqsa Hospital in Deir Balah. Give it up to Dr. Bushra Osman.
Good afternoon, everyone. I stand before you today on sacred Indigenous ground of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present, and I acknowledge any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today, including my sister Lydia. Every day I become a little bit more aware of what it means that sovereignty was never ceded. Friday the 15th of May, 1948. 78 years ago, Palestinians were driven from their home carrying keys they believed they would soon use again. Those keys became heirlooms. Those homes became memories. And the word Nakba, catastrophe, became not only a moment in history, but a living condition passed from one generation to the next. 78 years later, as Gaza burns and families once again carrying children, blankets, and fragments of their lives through rubble and smoke, we are forced to ask, when does a catastrophe end if it never truly stopped? Some of you will know that I'm a Palestinian Australian. I was born in Kuwait and I have spent most of my life here in so-called Melbourne. I trained as a general surgeon and I spent 3 months over the last 2 years on medical missions in Gaza. There are some words I've come to understand much more deeply since those experiences. I now understand them at a visceral level. They are no longer abstract themes that are relevant to Palestinians, but a weight that has settled in my heart and bones. Erasure, ethnic cleansing of bloodlines and generations. I think about the 2,500 Palestinian families wiped off the register for eternity. Shame. Dispossession, displacement. I think of Dr. Thada and his pregnant wife and their two young daughters who were given 10 minutes to exit their home before it got demolished.
Shame.
I think of Dr. Rajab, who sent his wife and son to Egypt for their safety, but remained in Gaza to fulfill his duty as a surgeon. Occupation of body, of mind, of land. I think of my relatives in the West Bank who were herded through cages when trying to move between cities, who were not allowed to enter Jerusalem with us because we have Australian passports, but they do not have freedom of movement. My paternal grandparents are from Colonia, a village near Jerusalem, which was erased and destroyed in 1948. In the 1960s, they migrated to Kuwait, like many other Palestinian families, who made difficult decisions about prioritizing safety over their homeland. I think of my teta, my grandmother, who is still in Kuwait, who can never return to set foot in her beloved Palestine because Israel has ensured that she is to remain in exile, who cried with both concern and pride when she heard I made it into Gaza on my first medical mission. Her own granddaughter, her own blood, doing something she can only dream of. I think of my maternal grandmother, who is from Sidi Bahar. I remember our family visiting my great-grandmother's house in the mid-1990s, and I can picture the garden and the courtyard of the home that my grandmother was born in. Each time I would exit Gaza and stay in Amman, my grandmother would recount stories of her childhood and mention how her family was in charge of harvesting oil from the olives. The house remains, but it is under Israeli occupation. Nakba translates to catastrophe, but there is another similar word I became very familiar with in Gaza, and that is kharifi. This roughly translates to disastrous, but it means much more than that. like when Israel bombed Al-Bafa Cafe and the Al-Shifa Emergency Department emergency floor was scattered with body parts and bodies and blood. Like when Dr. Nazar's generational family homes in North Gaza were bombed to oblivion, and how his elder brother was stationed in their last remaining house and was martyred by a missile strike only minutes before the ceasefire took effect. Of how we could barely find gloves and sutures and operating rooms for the hundreds of patients surviving Israeli violence. Or to see my friends and colleagues collapse from exhaustion and starvation after 4 months of food being prevented from entering Gaza.
Shame.
Bearing witness carries responsibility. I think of the amana, the trust that I have been given by the people of Gaza to have heard their stories and their heartache and shared in their grief, by my grandparents and parents and the Palestinian blood that runs in my veins. I've had time to sit with and try to reimagine what commitment to the Palestinian cause can look like, how to hold Israel and people to account and how to demand accountability, how to amplify stories and raise awareness. One such project is an anthology of experiences from Australian and New Zealand healthcare workers in Gaza. My dear friend Aviva and I, and she who founded Readers and Writers Against Genocide, are editing this collection. It is a truth-telling exercise and documentation of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Please keep an eye out for the book in a few months, inshallah, when it will be released. In the end, one thing is absolutely clear. It's about choice. Israel has been forcing Palestinians into impossible choices for decades, between safety and homeland, between education and survival, between healthcare and bombardment, between dignity and displacement, between staying and living. And we too are making choices. The choice not to look away. The choice to remember when the world demands forgetting. The choice to amplify Palestinian voices when others try to silence them. The choice to speak when silence has become complicity. The choice to act in our hospitals, our universities, our unions, our streets, and our politics. Because solidarity is not a slogan, it is a responsibility. And as long as Palestinians continue to resist erasure, continue to mourn, continue to survive, then we too must continue to witness, to advocate, to challenge, and to demand justice. From the river to the sea, always was, always will be.